Good morning. I said, tell you who I am. I'm the one that got hit by the tram in Poland. That's who I am. I'm Pastor Jim Lewis. It's good to be here this morning. But I have to say this, because many people are asking. When you hear about the story about me getting hit by the tram, it's okay to laugh. Everybody laughs when they hear it, because they don't know what to do. Once they get over the fact that I'm still alive, they just start laughing. I say, that's okay, I laughed too. My wife laughed after she cried. And so it's okay to laugh at it. So, because people look at you kind of funny. You go, what? And they say, just laugh, it's funny. But it is so good to be here for a quick visit. We're planning on coming for convention. Got people planning on coming. Keep that in prayer. You know what the devil does when someone says, I'm going to convention this year. I say, okay. So we were share. I confessed also this morning earlier that I am a needy Christian. I have needs, and so do you this morning. I know there used to be a poster or saying that said, where there is God, there is no need. And that's true. But where there is God, there's a need for me to be where God is. And here is, God is here. Where two or more are gathered together, the word of God is being preached, God is here. And we have we should have a need to be here. Like a need goes beyond a desire or a want or a wish. It's a necessity for me to be here. Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And it's necessary for us to eat and to drink, to live. We spend a lot of energy, money and time just to buy food to put on the table so we can live and keep going. And we don't even think about it because it's a need that I have to meet. And I just was thinking on the way down here, if we could just look at church as the same, as going to church, being with the body, seeing each other's portions in Christ is not just something if I, you know, feel good or if this or that, if the weather's fine, but it's I have a need. So if I have to drive through the rain, then I'm going to do it. If I need to drive 400 miles to hear a message, then I'm going to do it because it's a need. It's necessary for my spiritual life and growth. I need to see portions in the body of Christ, and everyone has a portion. And we were sharing in Peabody that the devil comes to us and lies so many times to people in the church, say, oh, nobody even knows I'm there. Nobody, what do? I sit there and listen. That's a tremendous thing. Dr. Stevens said that concentration on the Word of God is the highest form of worship. And you enter into worship together with the body of Christ. If we all concentrated and just sat there and listened, the anointing would be so tremendous. And needs are met without words being spoken in the body of Christ. You know, and met with words being spoken. But it's the presence of the Holy Spirit and the members in particular in every part. And so I have a need, as I'm a needy Christian, I need to have your portion. I need to have the love of the body. I need to be prayed for. I need to hear the word of God. And if I'm going to preach the word of God, I need to hear the word of God. And so I need to be able to sit sometimes and just be still and know that he's God and let him meet my need through the body of Christ. And so going to church and, you know, we were talking about schedules and details of life and how the devil loves to bring those into play. Well, we were just talking outside. I was talking to some gentleman and he was talking about wants versus needs. And I said, yeah. We say, I want to go to church, but. And as soon as you say, but, it's done. You've made an excuse not to go. Or I've made an excuse not to go. But when I say, I need to go to church, I need to be there. then I'm not going to give myself out. I need to be there. It's a necessity for me to see the body of Christ, to hear the word of God, to experience the Holy Spirit's presence within the body of Christ. Don't ever take it lightly. I don't take it lightly. It's more important to me now than ever before, the body of Christ and the portions in the body and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to be needy Christians this morning. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
All right, this is the first Sunday of the month, and we are celebrating communion. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're welcome at the table with us. The ushers could present the elements, and you can come forward, and we'll celebrate the body and blood of Christ this morning. So Jesus took this, the bread and the wine the night before he went to Calvary, and he spoke of something, you know, that seems impossible. John says in Revelation that the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. And John said he looked at the Lamb that was slain, and the moment that Jesus had been brought to was a moment of brokenness. Not a bone of him was broken, but there was a different, deeper, amazing kind of brokenness that all of creation and the universe had known about and expected. But when it came, what a powerful brokenness it was that Jesus was separated from the purity and the presence and the fellowship of God as he was made sin for us. His body was broken, battered, but not a bone of his was broken. But there was a brokenness that happened for our sake. And it was a brokenness that enables us to go into the presence of the Lord now. His moments of separation on the cross was a brokenness that made it possible for us to be one with him. So let's think about our sin upon the cross, not a catalog of sins, but just that moment that Christ became sin for us to make us one with him as we take and eat. And now the blood speaks. Blood is shed because it speaks. We know this early in the book of Genesis that the blood speaks. God said it did. God said that Abel's blood speaks to me, and Christ speaks louder for all of us. So when we are accused, as we are so often, whether we accuse ourselves or whether another accuses us, there's one that represents us. There's something that represents us before the throne of grace, and it's the blood of Christ. And it says to us, forgiven, washed, cleansed, now and forever. So let's take the blood of Christ and see ourselves as clean, all clean before him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you were broken for us, and that you shed your blood to speak for us, and that we are now one in you as a body of believers, in particular, and yet all whole because of your holiness and your sacrifice. We thank you for this moment together that we celebrate, and we thank you for the message we heard about our need for the body and church life, and the message we're about to receive, Lord. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the ushers will come and you can pass your cups to the ends of the aisle. Thank you.
Greetings from China. As maybe many of you know, we were in China for 5 days. It's a long ways to go. For 5 days, it was a great trip. We had a Greater Grace conference there with believers from different cities in China. We gathered. One of the meeting places was in a room about this size, and a few hundred Chinese believers gathered. And I want to share a little bit of that with you this morning. I want you to turn to the first verse is Psalm 34. Thanks for your prayers and your love. And we are so thankful for the Greater Grace missionaries that have labored in China through the years, sowing the seed and ministering and praying. And we are a body, the body of Christ. Pastor Lewis is pastoring in Peabody, Massachusetts. He was the one that got hit by the train in Poland, and he was in a car driving in the city of Warsaw during Eurocon, and he ran into a tram, or the tram ran into him. And he has a heart after God and became the pastor there in Peabody, and a family. They had no building, but there was a lot of hunger and a lot of people in the Lord. And so one family, they took their house and they blew out their bedroom wall. And they assembled now in that room, a large room with 80 chairs. And he said this morning at the 9 o'clock service that the people wanted to get a building, and he said no building until all the chairs are filled. He's a tough guy. Now the chairs are filled, so now they're looking for a building. Isn't that good? And maybe the family gets the bedroom back. Okay. Look at Psalm 34. First point, Psalm 34 and verse 10. I think I have a picture of the lions, right? Well, we have lions. Okay, here we go. They're the lions. Okay, go. Okay, go ahead, the whole group. Go ahead, all of you. I don't know what they sound like. Is that what they sound like? Okay, no. I Googled it, and an alpha male lion, when it roars, the roar goes 5 miles. And if it gets in a battle with another lion, when it loses the battle, its roar changes. And the jungle knows. They know the roar of the winner. Isn't that interesting? Okay, Google it for yourself. You know, I know you don't believe me, but it's okay. I don't believe it myself, but anyway. All right, look at the verse 10. Ready? Read it out loud with me. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. This is Spurgeon. Young lions are very strong, very crafty. They howl for hunger in the wood. They are very bold and furious. They are not stayed from any deed of depredation, and yet for all that, they sometimes suffer hunger. These are just the type of many men in the world. They are strong men. They are cunning men. They are at times smart, sharp men. If anybody would be well supplied, one would think they should be. But many of them go to bankruptcy and ruin. And with all their cunning, they are too cunning. And when they're unscrupulous, they manage at last full often to come to an ill end. They lack and suffer hunger. But here are the people of God. Just look around. Here are the people of God. They are regarded as simpletons, such simpletons as to seek the Lord. Instead of adopting the maxims of universal worldly wisdom, namely, seek yourself, they have given up what is called the first law of human nature, namely, self-seeking, self-pleasing, self-serving, and they have come to seek the Lord, to seek to magnify Him. And what comes of their simplicity? They shall not want any good thing. Notwithstanding their want of power, their want of cunning, and the check which conscience often puts upon them, they cannot do what others can do to enrich themselves. Yet for all that, they have a fortune insured to them. They shall not want any good thing. Yeah. Isn't that good? These animals are powerful. You think they can do it? They can always get what they want. They can do it. But it's not true. But they that seek the Lord, that's us. We have found another way. We have a new heart. We are a new creation. We are people after God, drawn after God. We want God. But God is invisible. That's exactly the point. There are people that live not with the invisible God. They live with the visible world of natural strength, natural wisdom, and they suffer and lack and hunger. Not always. Sometimes they get their prey, for sure. But someday they will lack. But another group of people, you and I, born again, with a new heart and a new spirit, we are looking at the invisible. We are seeking the invisible. We are loving the invisible. We are believing in the invisible. We are worshiping the invisible. We are trusting in the invisible. And we know our Heavenly Father because He has put in us the Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are awesome. It's a beautiful thing for somebody like me and you. I think you have felt it. I can be really strong and cat-crafty and very deceitful and proud and live my life like that and want what I want and look for what I want and get what I want. And I can go on social media and find out what I want and compare myself to other people, get what I want and go after what I want. But wow, it's amazing. There's another category of people. And we have said, somebody said in Gethsemane when Jesus prayed, he said, not my will be done, but your will. And they just said, there's just two categories of people in the world. Those that say, my will be done, and those that say, not my will, but your will be done. So, a couple of pictures. The first one is the heart of man. Put a hole in it. This is our Bible psychology. Hard drawing of a heart. Is it there? Not yet. I don't know. It's coming. Here it is. Okay. See, the electricity goes slow. Okay, here we go. We put a hole in the heart of man because there's two things that man needs and he lost them. There's two things that man is made to have. When he has God, we could say there's no hole in the heart. When he has God, he has these two things. He has security. And he has significance. I am important. I am valuable. Security. It's safe. I'm not in trouble. I might be in trouble, but my heart is not. I am secure. God loves me. I am valuable because I can love another. To love and be loved. It's two things. I want to love and I want to be loved. You can put them in other order. I want to be loved and then I want to love another. I want to be loved and I want to love is very simple. But when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they had this and then they sinned, this is what they lost. They lost their security and they lost their value. They lost God. So the nature of man is to try to fill the hole with something. And usually, well, always, there's nothing to fill the heart with but these, we could say, revolving small things. A job, a friend, a pile of money, good health, good looks, importance in society. I'm trying to find what I'm looking. I'm needy. Where can I find it? Jesus Christ came into the world with it. This is the heart of God, the heart of Christ. He came with the security and the love. He came into the world as a whole person. He wasn't insecure. He didn't feel, he wasn't confused. He knew who he was. He had the relationship with his Father. He loved the Father, and the Father loved him perfectly, for he had no sin. Christ had no sin, so he had none of this complicated psychology, none of this deficiency, wondering, who am I? What is my value? Does anyone love me? What's my purpose? What is happening in this world? I don't see. I am lacking. I am missing something. Okay. When you are born again, you're given the new heart, this one. So in our life, actually, we have one or the other operating in my life. When I am spirit-filled, walking in the newness of who we are by our new birth, then I can sense this. I am secure. I feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I feel the clarity of God's mind. I feel that there's not a question. He is loving me. I am persuaded. Neither death nor life, principalities or powers, things present or things can come, could ever separate me from this love. I am knowing this in my new man. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And the old things are passed away. They are passed away. They are gone. They are passed away. In reality, in the mind of God, our old man is passed away. And behold, all things have become new. But then we live in the flesh. This is the side of the picture here. Old sin nature. Because my old sin nature is connected with my material body. My old sin nature is with me as long as my material body is living. My material body, when it drops to the ground, hallelujah, I will not be in it. I will be gone without sin. Where was the sin? Well, the sin was put on Jesus. And the sin is attached to my mortal body. And my sin is gone when my mortal body drops dead. I am gone. It's never again a part of my life. This insecurity and search for value isn't ever going to be plaguing me anymore. There'll be no sense of vanity or emptiness. I've never experienced that again. When we are out of our body, when we leave our body. Hallelujah. So we have a teaching, we have our teaching in the book of Romans on the sin nature. We can say this side, we know that we have sin that dwells in our mortal body.
But I am not identifying with myself this way. I identify with myself this way because I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Could I use your coat, Pastor Bruce May? And Pastor Steve, can you bring his coat and stool with me, over to me, please? They're going to bring me the coat and the chair. Yeah, the stool. Missed the stool part. It's right there, that stool. Oh, it can't come. Okay. Let's see. This heart, this man, I am crucified with Christ. Okay. He was nailed to the cross. He was crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not me. Okay, so he's crucified. Yeah, I am crucified, and nevertheless, I live. But not I. Not him. I don't live. I am crucified with Christ. But I live. Yet not I. That I. Not I. But I live. I live. But not I. On our diagram, I live, not I. I am not living there. But that nature of our sin nature is what we, unfortunately, we allow it to dominate. We allow it to rule and reign in our life. We believe it. We even embrace it. We even say, oh, no, this is the reality of my life, my sin nature. That's the reality of my life. That's me. That's me, my sin, that's who I am, that's me. And that's what we do. And you came here today to hear another message, and that is, that's what we don't do. I am crucified with him, and I live. In the life I now live, I live how? Listen to this. The faith of the Son of God. Doesn't even say my faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because this new heart is actually God's heart. It's a new one. It's not, you know, my heart, you know, kind of scrubbed clean and fixed up and kind of, you know, do the best you can. No, you must be born again. You must have a new heart. And that heart is not yours in that sense. It is because he gave it to you because you died and were crucified and you were buried. And now I live, and I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. And the Son of God has given us this new life, this amazing new life of love and fellowship in him, body life. So now turn to the second and last part of our message is 1 Peter chapter 4, because this is what I saw in China. And everywhere in the world where we are able to go. And I want to say thank you to the body here. I love you guys so much. I love you guys. You're amazing. I love you guys. And I don't mean it. I mean it in the greatest sense of the meaning, not a personal, you know, not any other meaning, but the reality of what we're talking about, that this is a body life. This is not, have you ever been in a garden party where, you know, you were kind of self-conscious and you're with a group of people and like it's garden party, you're self-conscious and protocols are important, and did I say the right thing? Am I looking okay? And I, the protocol and the behavior and what are people saying, and do I fit in there? Have you ever been in one of those situations? Okay. I am so thankful that we've been given something that is really unexplainable, where you have a personal inside. You're not caring about the things that people are caring about in the garden party. You're not caring about your own reputation or the impressions that you make on people or something. You're not caring about the society in that sense, because you have found love. You have found security in another whole different. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you'll be free indeed, like real freedom, like freedom inside, freedom in your heart, freedom like, it doesn't matter to me what people think of me, I am loving people. This is the ultimate nonconformity. You know, when Jesus was in the midst of these kind of people, he was genuinely free. So he wasn't afraid of rejection or afraid of what people said or thought about him. He was the expression of God in a sinful world. And when God shows up, there is real freedom. And when we grow, when we are together as a group of people, there is real freedom. And that freedom is our new heart. And that you know you are loved, and I know that I am loved, and you know you are secure, and I know that I am secure, but not even aware of it, because we're not self-conscious in that sense. We're not trying to attain anything. We've been given a new life. We've been given a fellowship, which is a mystery. So in China, I saw this. There's a group of people, they're sitting down here, they're taking notes. There are people over here. China is a different country, different language, different customs, different food, as you know. The Chinese people in a communist country. But the communism is like this kind of a picture. You know how it is, you know, like, you know, who's in charge and who's the better man and who's the lesser one and who's got the connections and who doesn't. It's the same story everywhere in the world amongst people. But when you have body life or the life of Christ, the heart of God in your spirit, when you and I have found our freedom in Christ and the Spirit fills us, now we're able to love each other in a way where we may not even know each other, and it doesn't really matter who you are, because I know who you are in Christ. It doesn't really matter which city you come from, what language you speak, or what country you're from, even what generation or century you have lived. I've always thought that the first century Christians would be very comfortable here with us and us with them, apart from their clothing. No, even with their clothing, they would bear witness to Christ in us. They would recognize it, we would recognize it in them, and we have a trans-time fellowship, an eternal relationship with the same heart and mind as revealed in the Scripture. Now, I have a text here I want you to see. We will take four words from it, and it's 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll just start at verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity, or in the Greek, agape love. That's the meaning of the word agape, is the love of 1 Corinthians 13. And the love is to be fervent among yourselves. Well, that can't happen without this death. This death makes it possible for I am alive, but not me. Hallelujah, not me. I'm moving around here, you know, very smart and clever and everything, but who cares about you? Pastor Bruce, get your coat. No, I'm joking. Okay, so who cares? I hope you don't get worried about that, okay? We'll buy him a new one if we need to, okay? But look at, he is not at the center of our fellowship, but agape love. And we have fervent charity. It's ridiculous to think that a church would be based on what is the ground for our fellowship? What is the meeting ground for our fellowship? It's the cross. That means I have Christ in my life, and this is where we meet. Some churches meet on their denominational ground. Have you been baptized? What if I haven't been baptized in water? Can I still have fellowship with you? Or Presbyterian, or Methodist, or the Baptists, or what is the ground? Or Greater Grace, or Pentecostal? What's the basis of our handshake? It's love. Have fervent love among yourselves. Love one another. We are not to be divided. We're not divided by his strength, his pride, his religious pride. We're not to be divided by his opinions or his prejudices. I mean, for a church to be based on race is not correct. How could it be based on my culture or my race or my the country I came from? I understand if the Russians want to fellowship here in America and speak Russian in their assembly, they certainly can. I'm not saying that cannot be done. But as we non-Russian speakers would enter into the fellowship, we would have the same fellowship in a fellowship of fervent love one for another. Yes. We have like many nations here. Cameroon, Togo, Benin, Ghana, Nigeria, Sierra Leone. We have Filipinos, Chinese, Thais. We have Europeans, South Latinos. We have all kinds of people. And with the headphones on and listening to the message. And we're to have fervent love for each other. This is what it says, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So here's another picture here. Here's a man, and he has a gift. Make the gift look like this. And here's another man or woman in the church, and they have something maybe it's questionable going on in their life. Questionable. What does the person, what does the brother do? He has fervent charity, fervent love, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Like, I don't know what sin you have committed. I don't know who you are. But it's not that I am like Jesus Christ, and his heart Yes, to love and give grace. He said, I came not to judge. I came to save the world. My word will judge at the last day. When? Last day he's judged, but not now. I am loving him with a fervent love, and it will cover a multitude of sins. And this guy will say, what's going on? Nobody's loved me like that before. You don't even know me. I remember when I used to live in Hungary, we had a service, and it was really amazing. An anointed spirit of God was moving, and at the door I was shaking hands, and I said to people, I love you. I mean, just spontaneously. And one woman said, how can you say you love me? You don't even know me. And I thought, I know what she's thinking. But what's the answer to that? How can you love me? You don't even know me. Let's do it. How can you love me? You don't even know me. What would you say? Yeah, good question. How can I love you? I don't even know you. You'd be a criminal or something. Or terrible sins are in your life. Yeah, you're right, maybe. I should know you. I should first know you, then I decide if I love you, right? No. No. God loves people, period. God came to save people. God loves people fervently with agape love. God, and you know what the answer was to that point? I don't know if I said it at that spot because there were people lined up. But later that night when I was thinking about it, I think, and I've thought about it ever since, the answer is this. I don't love you because I know you. I love you because God loves me, and I love you because God loves you. God loves you. I'm not loving you because I know you. I'm loving you because God knows you. God loves you. God died for you. Christ loves you. Right? How do we love each other in this room? First row, 37th row, 17th row, second row. How do you know each other? We're not loving each other because we know each other. We've been at the garden party together and we have found out who we really are. Or have we lost sight of finding out who I am, and I'd rather know who he is and who he has made me to be in him so that I live, but not I, right? But Christ lives in us, and this is the fellowship that we have in the mystery of the body of Christ, and this is how it works. Look at verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. It means when you give something to somebody, don't complain afterwards about doing it. When you open your home up to some people to visit you, then don't be grudging about it afterwards. When you are sharing a ride in the car with somebody, do it without grudging. Do it happily because of your new life. And here's the text, verse 10. I want to finish. It says, as every man hath received the gift. Let's put this down here. Number one, you have received a gift. Even so, minister. Minister the gift. Minister. It happens. I think this is why some of us stay out of drugs and other temptations in life. We have so much fun ministering the gift. I think this is why many of us live for decades in the faith and and enjoy the ministry of Christ so much because we minister the gift. I think this is what's happening with the new people that are coming into our fellowship and finding Christ in their lives in a very practical way because they hang out. They minister the gift. They spend time a little before the service or after, or they come on a Monday night or on the Wednesday night, or they come for on some other event or activity, or they get in the habit and they minister the gift. The women's ministry, ministering the gift. The Sunday school, ministering the gift. The teenagers that are gone in the Poconos this weekend and meeting with Pastor Love and P. Wistera and a team of adults and young people are up there and they're ministering the gift. At GGCA, our day school, at the homeschoolers, the moms and the dads that are doing the best they can, and may God bless them, ministering the gift. We have a gift and we learn to minister it. But we also learn to wait on God. We said the butler in an English home is standing in the big room. The family's having dinner and the butler is there. And he has his concentration on serving. But is he doing anything? Right now, he's doing nothing but standing there. He is just waiting. Is he doing anything? Not at the moment. But he's right there. He's a butler. He's just a servant. He's just there. Everything was done and made and everything ready and prepared. And he's just there. It looks like he's doing nothing. And that's like us sometimes. I'm not doing anything, but I am. I'm seeking the Lord. I am waiting on God. I know he's going to take care of me. Other people are more clever, more strong. Other people have found another way. They live their natural way. But I don't want to do that. I am waiting on God. And God is going to take care of me. And then you go like this, you know, just like when and I have been able to go and wait upon him. And I find that our lives are blessed. We seek God and we find him. In Isaiah 55, 6, Jeremiah 29, 13, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. What a good word. And then lastly, it says, verse 10, it says, minister the one to another as good stewards. Number three word, stewards. You know, I used to have a shed filled with junk. Then I went on a trip. My wife got busy. I came back. Where's my favorite junk? Where is it? Where is it? I didn't throw anything out. I didn't throw anything. Where's my jacket? Oh, yeah, that did go. Okay. A steward. You don't let things rot. You don't let things just go up in the attic and never see them. They go in the shed and they're gone. They're like the dirty and not used, no value there. No, a steward, we know what is valuable. We found what is valuable. Our new life is valuable. The gift that God has given us is valuable. The fellowship is valuable. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. You have a gift and you are a steward of it. And as you use it, it'll help you. Because I don't care about the other kind of life. Can you imagine if I go to a bar room and start talking foolishness and drinking and hanging out with guys that also don't know what's going on, and there I am, and it's like, how ridiculous, how could we do it? Well, we need to grow in who we are. When you grow in who you are, you cannot imagine going back to the pigsty. I don't want to go back to the farm, the muddy mire. I don't want to go back to the vomit like the dog goes back to the vomit. I don't want to return back to my old ways. I don't like the pride of the human heart. I don't like the jealousy of the human heart, the envy of the human heart, the fear of the human heart, the insecurity of the human heart. It does nothing for us. But look at the fourth word. We are stewards, and it says, of the manifold, many-sided, many elements, many aspects, manifold grace of God. Grace of God. A lot of grace. A lot of it is ministered to us. So in closing, we are in China. I was amazed that these people, they have found the grace of God. They're so excited about it. Some want to be pastors. Some are living in faith. Some that we just saw, the students, the graduates. We saw the work of God in China. It's not just greater grace. It's where the word on the street is that many Chinese people are coming to Christ. I think it relates to Pastor Hadley's offering message about until the Gentiles be filled, or the time of the Gentiles is completed. We are watching it in Nepal. They are coming to Christ. In China, they are coming to Christ. In Iran, they are coming to Christ in large numbers. In Pakistan, people are coming to Christ. It's in this country where they are falling away. They are falling away. But not us, I hope. No. We are using it. We are showing up. We are using it. Become a churchgoer. Have it in your heart. Don't make it a condition. If the weather shine, the sun is shining, I'll go. If the rain is falling, I will not go. If it is cold, I will not go. If it is warm, I will go. If they give out a free coffee, I will go. And if they don't give, if they ask me for money, I will not go. If I will be happy, I will go. If they make me sad or cry, I will not go. If they preach about grace, I will go. If they preach about hell, I will not go. That kind of thing. No. You're made. You're Peter built. You know those trucks? Peter built trucks. You are built for life. You are built for, come on. You are built for Christ. You are built for God. You are built for reality. Enough of the garden party emptiness. No. We got the real thing. And when young people get the real thing, when young people get the real thing they are hungry for, when communist people get the real thing they are hungry for. I remember preaching in the Soviet Union, and there was a KGB officer sitting there, and I saw the change in her face when she realized that what I was saying may be true, and she is wrong. It may be she is wrong, and the communism is wrong. And it may be that it is wrong, and it may be that what that preacher is saying is true. Yeah, wow. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we want this body of Christ, all, every one of us, to be encouraged this morning in our new life and how you use us. I have seen people 1 hour, even 2 hour after services, still be on the property, still be engaged, still be talking. Not everybody, of course, we go on our way. It's all our own life. I don't mean anything other than I have seen the Spirit of God wake people up at night to pray. I have seen the work of Christ in China, in Poland, in other parts of the world. This is the body of Christ that you have made, and we are members of it. One day we will see you. One day this life in the flesh will be transformed. We will be raptured. One day we will meet you and see you with our eyes, and will not be ashamed in that day because we have found you now in this life. Father, bless this church and all that we do through the gifts that you've given and the faith that we embrace. Anyone here is not a believer, please, this is an invitation for you to come to Christ. Come as you are. Come today as you are, just as you are, with all the garbage and all the luggage and all that you are. Come to him now. by faith in him, and he saves you by his grace and forgives you. In Jesus' name. Anyone at all, raise your hand. Anybody at all raising your hand to accept Jesus? Anybody? The usher will give you a booklet. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask just for the pastors, just to walk down here, stand down here on the right here, right along the way. No, go out the door. That's right. I'll change it. The pastors up here, you guys sitting, we want to watch you walk off because we don't know if you're going to do it. Go ahead. Go right over there. Go right out that door. If you're here today and you want a prayer from a pastor, you want a prayer for a healing, you want a prayer for a heavy heart, prayer for your children, whatever it is you want, a prayer for, the pastors will be right out those doors. Just go to them personally and they'll have a prayer for you. Would you all rise with me, please? Say to your neighbor, I love you. I love you. Not because I know you. Not because I know you. I love you. Because Christ loves you. Here goes the benediction. Father, bless us as we go. Bless our week. Keep us. Shine upon us. Lift your face upon us. In all that we have in this short life we are living. Bless us and keep us and use us at work. Our families are precious to us and our hearts may be broken, but you can heal. Bless our things, our possessions, our lives on this earth, and bring us to glory. In Christ's name, amen. You are dismissed.